The doctor will see you now.
But do they really? Do they see you as a mother who's a daughter and a caregiver? Fearless, but sometimes fearful? A health nut with a French fry habit? An O-positive geologist named Patty, who's here today for a melanoma exam? At Kaiser Permanente, we believe the only way to care for all of you is by seeing all that is you. Kaiser Permanente, for all that is you. Learn more at kp.org.
Well, hey, greetings, salutations, everybody. Welcome back here to the channel. This is Open Mic here on the John Campia YouTube channel, much like the John Campia Show, just a lot more laid back. And all we do here on the show is take your live comments and questions. We don't have any predetermined topics lined up. I'm joined by Mr. Robert Meyer Burnett. Robert, how was your afternoon?
It's been good. You know, launch a new channel or a new show on my YouTube channel. I'm very excited about anime.
Something
I don't know much about. I'm old school. I'm like you, like Space Battleship Yamato, Star Blazers, Mobile Suit Gundam. I'm like old school anime. I don't know anything about new anime.
Right. I don't really keep up on it.
I mean, much. I'll buy like when a movie comes out, like Bell or Weathering with You or something.
Yeah, individual films.
Yeah, I'll buy those. But I don't know the ins and outs. And so a kid came to me, this guy, King Tanik, and asked to do it. And it's great. It's cool.
Hey, sitting back there, we got Jonathan Voiko's over there.
Hello.
Running the operation here today is Taylor, and you guys are here. So, you know what? Let's not waste any time. Let's dive right into it and talk about the things you guys want to talk about. So, what do we got up here first?
I don't know, John. Let's see. Hitchcock is the GOAT is back. I know art is subjective, but I was shocked to learn Kelly Riley, Beth on Yellowstone, has never been nominated for an Emmy. I figured she had one by now.
Yellowstone, look, it is all subjective, and the awards, it's always tricky because there's other very, very, very gifted, important performances that are given to. But Yellowstone is a show that up until The Last of Us, I think it's the best show on TV. All due respect to Succession, I love Succession. I love it. But I do think Yellowstone's the better show. Yellowstone has been criminally underrecognized when it comes to award season. Like, not just her. Like Kevin Costner, the rest of the cast is phenomenal. It's really been an underrepresented show, but you're right. She is fantastic in this show, and they keep going the way they're going. Their ratings only go up. Their ratings keep going up. So it's going to become undeniable at some point here.
But Did you see Harrison Ford was on Stephen Colbert last night talking about Yellowstone? And Colbert said to him, he said, so...
Oh, that's right, because he's in 1923.
Yeah, he goes, so you're in a sequel to a prequel... to Yellowstone, which I thought was pretty funny, but he seemed to like it. He was more engaged than you normally see Harrison Ford on talk shows, but he talked about how he really liked shooting the show.
You know what? He's got another show out right now with Jason Segel.
Yeah.
Shrinking. I haven't seen the first episode or two yet. My wife, Anne, has watched the first couple episodes. She says she loves it so far.
Wow, that's
good. She's like, you got to watch this. I'm like, all right, so I'll have to give that a shot too. All right, what's next?
Next comes from Jared Vester. Rob Moskrieff is Oscar worthy, and you should read it. Chewbacca, a Star Wars story starring none other than the Muppet Yolanda the Rat. Well, I don't even know what to say. If it's Oscar worthy, you know what? In your mind, why don't you not just leave it in your mind, and it'll always be Oscar worthy. If you send me the script, I might have more to say about it.
All right.
What's don't next? Send me your scripts. Don't. Aiden Foley says Five Nights at Freddy's has begun filming. As a huge fan of these games, I am dying to watch this. And John, you must play it on a PC or on the PC. It's scarier.
I don't know why I need to play it again. I mean, I played it on mobile, which I believe that is the birthplace of Five Nights at Freddy's.
I think
not?
So too.
Yeah. Mobile not. Anyway, I have been very excited about the Henson Company being involved. Do not recall who's in this. I don't remember them announcing casting.
I don't remember either.
But this is one of those games, especially as a horror film. This is going, the whole premise of Five Nights at Freddy's is going to lend itself very well, I believe, to a movie. If you do it right now, of course, Nicolas Cage already did a Five Nights at Freddy ripoff. So we'll put that aside. But I mean, I think this could be really, really good with the Henson Company with it. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, what's next?
What's Culture Wars Diplomacy says, greetings from Lake Elsinore. Any criticism?
I just played poker there last weekend.
Did you really?
Yeah, Lake Elsinore's got a poker room out there. It's called the Lake Elsinore Casino. I've not gone to play there much. When I go to play poker, if I'm not playing poker in Vegas, I'll go out to Palm Springs and play out there. But Lake Elsinore is a lot closer
right.
to me. And every once in a while, I'll go out there, and I went out and played some poker there last week.
Dude, I can't. Every time I hear the word Elsinore, all I can think about is Strange Brew.
Oh my God.
Because the Elsinore yep. Brewery, yep. you know,
nice call out there. I approve. All right. So we should probably get to their question. What was their question?
Greetings from Lake Elsinore. Any criticism of a movie or show that you had to ask? Did you watch it? Any criticism of a movie or show that you had to ask? Did you? Oh, you mean, I guess saying, did somebody criticize
something?
Was
your reaction? Yeah.
Ask them,
oh, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. Like, if somebody brings up something, I'm like, Did you watch it? Like,
yeah.
I mean, one example of that, I can't remember somebody we knew. Oh, I know. It's my buddy Brian. Okay. So like Reggie, I think it was Reggie Bush. Cause I don't know if you watched the AFC, the divisional championship games last weekend, but you know what happened with San Francisco 49ers, their third string quarterback, who is their right now their starter, but he's their third string quarterback, got hit in the elbow and got knocked out of the game. So they had to bring in their fourth string quarterback, who shortly after that got knocked down and smashed his head on the ground and got taken up for concussion protocol. So the third string quarterback had to come back into the game, but he couldn't throw. So for the rest of the game, San Francisco 49ers just had to hand off the ball, the rest of the thing, right? And Reggie Bush goes, how did they not plan for this? How could you only go into the game with one quarterback? To which my buddy Brian wrote him and was like, did you watch the game? Like, so, but yeah, people bring up arguments, like they'll say, criticize something. I'm like, okay, so you didn't watch. By the way, it happens all the time in our comment sections on our videos. Like somebody, well, I mean, here's an example of it, right? Somebody once wrote in, this is an infamous example. I won't go into it in detail, but somebody once wrote in, this is back before Black Panther came out. And somebody wrote in, because the Black Panther's proximity to Infinity War, a couple of people wrote and asked a question. There was this mumbling going on that Disney was just using that movie to promote Infinity War. So I took the question. Somebody wrote in and asked, hey, are they just using Black Panther to promote Infinity War? So I took that question and I proceeded then for the entire video to explain, no, I explained why Disney is not using Black Panther just to promote Infinity War. Right? The whole video is about that. And of course, I got a couple of people who are like, why are you saying that they're using Black Panther to, like in the comment? I'm like, did you watch the video? Yeah. Anyway, so it happens all the time. Like with movies, comment sections, whatever, it happens all the time.
Yep.
All right, what's next?
So I was able to get some casting information on Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, great.
Like Matthew Lillard, from Scream.
Really?
And Josh Hutcherson from the
Hunger Games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
so that's interesting.
You know what? I like that. I like that casting
that's
for a movie
not
like
bad.
This. All right. What's next?
Bald Zach says the Anti-Monitor would be a good first big bad for the new DC universe, in my opinion.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
That is a way inside baseball kind of villain
yeah.
that maybe you could use somewhere down the line in a project or two, but I don't think that's one that's going to work for the general audience.
And I got to say that even when they set up the Monitor originally, they dropped him in to DC Comics for like 2 years, and they didn't explain who or what he was. They gave you snippets of him, and he was the hero, but that took 2 years in the comics of building up to the Monitor because he was a new character. So I disagree. I like the Anti-Monitor as a villain, but...
All right, what's next?
JT Hiskey says, I saw the Willie Nelson documentary at Sundance. It was 4 hours and 40 minutes long.
What?
A super slow film. Do not see. I love Willie, though.
Here's the thing. A lot of people forget that documentaries are still movies. You need to tell a story and you need to have pace to it. And like I remember when we were editing my documentary, Movie Trailers, A Love Story, Jonathan and I would be working on editing it. And we were constantly reminded that we got to tell a story. We can't just have a documentary throwing up a bunch of interesting facts. We're trying to tell a story. And, you know, our approach was we looked at, and hence why I ultimately changed the name of the movie to Movie Trailers, A Love Story. We looked at the story of Movie Trailers like that of a love story, the origins of it, the trials of the relationship and how it comes out on the other end. And that's kind of was our approach. you got to look, if you're a documentary filmmaker, you still have to understand you're making a movie that people are sitting, and you got to understand the flow, the peaks and the valleys you got to bring an audience through in like a 4 hour and 40 minute documentary. That would have been better off broken down into an Amazon
that
series.
That could be a series documentary. Yeah.
But it might be a work in progress, because sometimes at film festivals, and so you get a sense of...
I'm just surprised a film festival agreed to play a closer to 5 hour movie than anything else. That's weird.
It's
weird.
Well, Retribution Zero said it best in the live chat. It should have been 4 hours and 20 minutes.
If it was Willie. All right, what's next?
That's pretty clever, actually. Jasmine Jones says, with proud family louder and prouder, doing well with season two out now, and Phineas and Ferb coming back, I hope we get Kim Possible to get a revival. Fans still love the show.
What was the one that they announced, that Disney announced that they were going to do? It was the Hilary Duff show.
Oh, you're talking about
Lizzie McGuire?
That's right.
Hilary Duff. Yeah. Hilary Duff and Lizzie McGuire.
They had announced a D23. Not this most recent one, a couple ones ago, that they were bringing that back. Everybody got really super excited.
Pros know a thing or two about how to get the toughest messes clean. That's why they've long trusted cleaning products from Ecolab for their businesses. And now, that level of clean is available for your home at the Home Depot. Introducing Ecolab Scientific Clean, a full line of pro-grade cleaning products for all your home's needs. So you can clean like you mean business. Now available exclusively at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
But it was going to be a mature one. Like, it's now Lizzie later on in her life and dealing with stuff like that. And then ultimately they changed their minds, pulled the plug on it. But yeah, shows like that, like these ones he's talking about. I mean, look, I don't know personally anybody that has Disney Plus to watch these types of shows. But they clearly have an audience, and it becomes a nice, you know, playground, if you will, to put stuff like that out.
Yeah.
All right. What's next?
Brennan Mystical Mar says, hello there. Been watching since 2012. If you could only pick one, would you rather have a good plot or good characters?
It's very difficult to have one without the other. If I could only have one, I'm going to, honestly, better plot will make for the better script. Better characters makes for the better watching experience. And I'll give you an example why I say that. There are a couple of seasons of Supernatural, which is a show that you guys know that I loved. There are a couple of seasons of Supernatural where the story, because every season had its own self-contained story, right? That's still tied into the overall thing, but every season had its own story that had its beginning and then its end at the end of the season. And there were some seasons that didn't have much of a story, but I still watched it obsessively because I wanted to hang out with the Winchester boys. I wanted to hang out with Castiel. I wanted to hang out with Crowley. I wanted to hang out with the characters. And so you may not have had a really good story going on, but if you just have these characters who have, the characters have great chemistry and they have great banter between them, I could sit and watch it every week. So the plot makes for the better script. Characters make for the better watching experience. So if I had to pick one, I guess I go characters. I don't know. What do you think?
I think you're right. I mean, the first thing that came to mind when I read this question was the movie Dazed and Confused, the Richard Linklater movie. Not a lot of plot there. But because it's the last day of school in the 70s, you're hanging out. I mean, Quentin Tarantino makes hangout movies, you know, and I just liked hanging out with those characters. So I think you're right. I think good characters, I'll follow a good character shopping in a mall. Look at Richard Linklater made the Before Sunrise, Before Sunset. You're just wandering around. There's no plot. You're just wandering around with Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy. And I was just watching one of them the other day. It's two people you're just hanging out with.
And the funny thing is they both require really good writing.
Yeah.
Like cannot have good characters without great writing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. All right, interesting question. All right, what's next?
James Argenta says, the new episode of The Bad Batch has made Kashyyyk the Pandora of the Star Wars universe, with the Wookiees treating their planet like the Na'vi.
I really don't care about The Bad Batch. Like, honestly, they could take that show and burn it. I really don't care.
The Hot Toys are cool from it, though.
Hey, they're really interesting designed characters, and the conceit of what it is interesting. I just, yeah, they're not good. So I don't really, to be honest, I really don't care. All right, what's next?
Sidious Swift says, breaking news, the new Robin will be played by the kid from Black Adam, and those writers will be specifically writing all of his lines.
Oh, man, that's terrible breaking news.
Wow, Batman, you're cool. Can I have cool shoes? What are we going to do? I'm going to run over here for no reason. Ah! Oh, my God, that kid. Listen, you gotta understand, I'm a fan of the Black Adam. I like the Black Adam. It has its issues. It has its problems. I like the Black Adam movie. I don't care how much it made or didn't make. I don't care. I like that movie.
I loved how much he had to move around on a skateboard, even when walking actually meant it would be faster.
Yeah, that kid was so bad. Look, no, I'm not trying to knock the child performer, but the character was so bad. It was so bad. It was just terrible. All right, what's next?
Jasmine Jones says, Paul Rudd just did a commercial promoting Scott Lang's book, but you can buy it. Did you see that the Jonas Brothers got the Hollywood Walk of Fame star?
Well, I'll tell you somebody who did know about that, my wife. I remember she said like a week or two ago, the Jonas Brothers are going to star on the Walk of Fame. I'm like, honey, you've seen 4 concerts of theirs in the last 6 months. I don't think you need to go down to Hollywood Boulevard. Look, I am secure enough in my manhood that I can tell you this. For our anniversary, my wife wanted me to go with her to a Jonas Brothers concert in Vegas. Because normally when she goes to these concerts, we'll take a friend of hers and I'll go play poker and her and her friend will go to the thing, right? She wanted me to go with her. So I went, begrudgingly. Got to tell you, those are good boys. I don't care. They put on, I don't listen to them in my car or anything.
Sure, but.
But when it comes to putting on a good show, I'll tell you what, those boys put on a damn good show. Now, and at the last one they did, I wasn't at the last one with Ann, but Ann brought back pictures. I guess they brought out their dad, and my wife Ann filmed it. They brought out their dad on stage who sat down at the piano and played and sang Rocket Man. And I'm like, what the hell? like we see where they get it from because their dad was awesome. He's like, sitting, I'm like, how's he going to hit these notes? And then these notes came and I'm like, tip of the hat, sir, tip of the hat. But listen, I'm going to tell you, if you have a chance to see what the fuck's their names again?
Which the brothers?
Jonas Brothers. If you get a chance to see the Jonas Brothers live, I recommend going. It's a surprisingly good show.
I heard news about this. If I heard correctly, they also announced a new album they have coming out in May.
Yes. Actually, the show I was at with Ann, there's Joe Jonas, Nick Jonas, Kevin. And the one that nobody remembers.
Kevin Jonas.
Kevin Jonas. Kevin Jonas announced at it that we've got a new album coming. So I guess that's close to coming out now.
Yeah. That means another tour.
You think that's bad. There's a fourth Jonas. He didn't get his name on that Walk of Fame.
No, there is a fourth Jonas brother who apparently hosts some kind of reality show with one of the other brothers, the Kevin Jonas brothers. That's like the unknown Jonas. Anne redubbed me John Jonas, by the way, because I figured out how to play one of their songs on my guitar and I played it for her, which by the way, gentlemen, find out your girl's favorite band, learn how to play one of their songs. It gets you points. You can cash in later, but wow. It got me points. So, but she dubbed me John Jonas at that point.
All right.
All right. What's next?
Jonas talk.
Jonas Stock.
Luke Stockton says, I personally wasn't a huge fan of episode 3 of The Last of Us, but I did love and can appreciate the allusions to appreciating the small things in life, a shower, the forest, food, etc. Love that theme.
I'll tell you what, look, I get it because, you know, I read some reviews from people saying, they specifically said, I'm looking for exploding zombies. All right. I mean, if that's what you're looking for, that's what you're looking for. We all look for different things and entertainment is a subjective art. And it's fine. It's going to work for some, not work for others. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm glad you were able to appreciate stuff like that too. Like I was like incredibly moved the entire episode about the idea in this hellscape. Cause they just spent 2 full episodes painting the picture of a hellscape that everybody lives in. And then to take a moment and say, beauty can still exist within this. And the idea of it's within the world going to hell that a person, Bill's character, was actually able to find beauty in life and find love and all that kind of stuff. And to me, it was, it understands, this was an episode that really shows that it understands the game. And of course, Druckmann is one of the creators of it, but you're right. It's little moments like that also were just accentuated it so much. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. All right, what's next?
Jonathan Schultz says, thank you for the show today. I really needed it. Love you guys. You all consistently make my days better. Bring on the filthy.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a fun show this morning.
It was a fun show this morning.
It was Aaron's final regular show with us.
Yeah.
Her and Tom are going to move to New York in a couple of months here, and they're going to have a lot to get ready in advance. But you'll still see Aaron pop on the show a couple more times before she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that, man. Nice. It's very nice to hear from you, and thanks. We appreciate that. All right, what's next?
Jonathan Schultz goes on to say, it wasn't until the other day that you guys brought to my attention that James Mangold is making a Bob Dylan biopic with Timothée Chalamet. I am super stoked about this. Dylan is one of my favorites.
I tell you what, that's inspired casting too.
I know. Young Bob Dylan. I mean, come on, look at that. Young Bob Dylan.
And by the way, the Timothée Chalamet Apple TV Plus commercials.
It's the greatest thing
ever. It's some of the best things on TV right now.
Oh my God.
Like that, just that one moment when Jason Momoa is like, well, who doesn't have an Apple Plus? She was at the point, Timothée Chalamet is, yeah, who doesn't? Just like you just said. Like, it's just, it's, oh my God, it's so good. I love this kid. All right, what's next?
John Redcorn says, why do you think Love and Thunder made less dollars than Thor 3? And if and when there is a Thor 5, do you see Taika coming back to direct?
Well, I mean, listen, it's actually quite simple why it didn't make as much money as Thor Ragnarok. It's not as good as Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
It did not have the same. Listen, I like the movie. At the end of the day, I walked out of that movie having been entertained. But I also walked out having some serious issues with it. You know, I remember when I saw it, and I did see it early, and I came out, one of the first things I said before all the reviews came out, I said, guys, Taika Waititi, like in Thor Ragnarok, that line he finds, that balance between the heavy and the silly, his meter went way over to the silly, like way leaned into the silly. And at the end of the day, for me, I still laughed a lot and had a good time, but it's just, again, it went way too far that way. And it, I think, really hurt repeat viewings. Now, the funny thing is the audience review of that movie is still quite good. The average filmgoers enjoyed the film and liked it, but it didn't have nearly the same power. And let's not forget, the movie still made over $700 million. And Jonathan, maybe you can look at the actual box office number that it actually had. But Thor, Love and Thunder, I mean, I feel a lot like the way I do about Black Adam, right? Black Adam is a movie I enjoyed, but although I had serious issues with it. Thor, Love and Thunder is a movie I enjoyed.
761.
There you go. But I had serious issues with it. The difference is Thor, Love and Thunder made twice as much as what Black Adam did. But the audience scores are surprisingly decent. But yeah, it's just not as good. That's why it made a lot of money, but not like world-breaking money like Ragnarok did. All right, what's next?
Black Rice 19 says, I wish a $9 super chat. Thank you for that. I wish DC Gunn would just commit to hard reboot and avoid all confusion. How is the Peacemaker team and Aquaman coming back, but we now need a new Superman and Batman? Marvel is better at communicating.
No, they're not. No, they're not. We've just gone through 2 years of people going, we don't know what the fuck is going on with phase four. Don't tell me that Marvel's good at communicating.
No, but Kevin said it'll all be sorted out soon.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Just trust us. It's coming. It's coming. I mean, and listen, I love Kevin Feige. You all know how much I love Kevin Feige. But let's not pretend that Marvel's real good at communicating, because no, they're not.
Especially with this phase.
Yeah. And by the way, here's the difference. We've had... How many phase four things were there? 8, 9?
A lot.
10? Okay, we've seen 8, 9, or 10 things of phase four, and people don't know what's going on. We haven't seen a single thing yet about James Gunn and Peter Safran's DC. We haven't seen a single thing yet. So I guarantee you that once we get one or two movies and projects into James Gunn's DC, we're all going to clearly know what's going on. So listen, right now, everything is still a bit ambiguous, but they need to keep it a bit ambiguous, right? They haven't even started yet. We haven't had Project One come out. We won't until 2025. The only confusion there is amongst the hardcores like you and I, who are looking this thing and trying to dissect and figure it all out before anything's even come out. The reality is, once this thing starts and they lay bare what it is, then it'll become a lot more clear. We don't know that Peacemaker is coming back as the exact same Peacemaker that we had before. We don't know that this Waller show is going to be the exact same thing as what Waller was in the Peacemaker. We just don't know that yet because we haven't had thing one. MCU in phase four, a dozen projects and nobody knows what's going on. DC, haven't had a single project yet out of this. So let's give it a little bit of time.
Slow
let's give
your
it a little
roll.
Bit of base. Yeah, a little bit of space. All right, what's next?
Fry Minis says, Rob, heard you were suffering from a bad case of PONFAR. Luckily, it sounds like the medicine goes down smooth. Get well soon. Picard season 3. Hype. PONFAR. We Is must. There something you don't know that I know or vice versa?
I thought it was a Star Trek reference.
The PONFAR.
What's the name of that blood fever?
What's the name of that weapon they use?
Well, there's the Onwoon and the Lerpa.
The one with the big Q-tip end and the blade on
That's
the other side.
That's the Lerpa.
That's the Lerpa. Yeah. There we go. I'm a Batliff guy myself.
Batliffs are good. And by the way, in Picard season 3, and I don't know, I keep forgetting the name of it, Worf has a new, basically it's a Klingon broadsword. And they went back and asked Dan Curry, who designed the Batliff for Next Generation, 35 years later to design this new sword. And he did. He came back and designed
it. Very nice. All right, what's next?
Jonathan Schultz says, was rewatching Skyfall the other day, and dang, Javier Bardem kills it in that movie.
Yeah, he does.
I don't think I've ever seen him put through a bad performance.
Never seen Javier Bardem put in a bad performance.
Ever.
I met Javier Bardem at a premiere for Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
I love that movie.
I love that movie. And I remember, like, obviously you watch him in No Country for Old Men, and he's a weird looking dude. He is not a weird looking dude. Like,
no,
I met that guy. Like, it was one of the first times I remember meeting a male movie star where I suddenly felt kind of insecure because he's a fucking good looking
dude.
He's
a very handsome
dude. He's a good looking dude. Anyway. All right. What's next?
John Redcorn says, do you think Roby's Harley Quinn is safe in the DC universe?
No.
I don't either.
No, I do not.
She's already been replaced by Lady Gaga.
Well, that's the Joker thing. Listen, I'm not saying I don't think we'll see Harley Quinn back, but I would not put money on Margot Robbie's iteration of Harley Quinn being safe. I mean, it could. It's a bit of a coin toss, but I wouldn't say she's safe.
Chuck the Mystery says, do you think a contributing factor to Scream using so much of the marketing budget for the Super Bowl is the massive success of Jenna Ortega and Wednesday?
Well, I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine. I was going to say, the whatever this trailer is going to air on Super Bowl will lean heavily into Jenna Ortega.
Oh, yeah.
And absolutely, 100%. I mean, number one, you got to believe in your movie a little bit. And the last Scream movie they did was surprisingly to me quite good. I like the last Scream movie and I didn't think that I would. But yeah, you cannot divorce this. Like, no offense to the Scream franchise, but if you don't know that a big part of this is the sudden celebrity of Jenna Ortega, then you better wake up to it because I guarantee she's going to be at least half of that trailer.
What if the trailer is just Ghostface doing the Wednesday dance and takes off the mask and it reveals Jenna Ortega?
Then it'll probably be the best commercial they can do because that will probably get more people excited about the movie than anything else, oddly
enough.
Or
get that swimmer girl to be Ghostface underwater.
All right, what's next?
Now, let me see if I can get this. Leonardo Gulian?
That sounds good.
I might be either too old or too young. But what exactly could a Tomb Raider universe consist of besides Lara Croft? I can't even remember the most important secondary characters of the video games.
You create them.
Yeah.
You create them. I mean, that's what just good writing does. Look, you approach this project, like any other project, create good characters with good stories. And then if you create the right characters, you can then spin them off. They don't have to come pre-existing from the game to do that. Now, again, whether or not they're going to be able to do that is an entirely different question, of course. Right. It's got, like Rob always says, it's got to be good.
It's got to be good.
But yeah, it can just easily be new characters you create.
But in the last game was Trinity, that organization Trinity.
But can you make a spinoff? Can you make a Trinity spinoff?
Probably. They're like an international organization. So it's all right. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. What's next?
Daniel Vakura says Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow is True Grit in space, with Supergirl being the one who is hired. It's an epic adventure where the big difference between her and Superman is that he's an immigrant. She's a refugee who witnessed her world die three times, with the destruction of Krypton, the radiation poisoning on Argo, and then Argo's shields failing by age 14. She's more hardened with remembering it. That's probably from Tom King's comic run. That sounds interesting. I like that. That'd be good. I didn't realize that was the story, but it sounds good to me. Like, I would watch that. I think that's very legit, and maybe that's what they're going for. I like the fact, like you just said, Superman himself is an immigrant, and, well, Kara Zor-El becomes one, but I'd watch that. Sounds good.
Well, it goes, again, it goes to the thing we were talking about this morning, is that this becomes an opportunity for them to differentiate between Kara and Kal-El, because, like, I know everybody arguing, no, but the reality is, Supergirl and Superman are often portrayed extremely similarly.
Yeah.
Like, they're literally, it's just a male and a female version of it. And for them to be able to bring something in that can really make her stand out as being quite different from Kal-El, maybe more jaded, we talked a little bit earlier today, maybe R-rated. But that type of a background could really play into that. So we'll see how they decide to approach it. All right, what's next?
Wicked Man says, I'm really glad that Andrea got her nomination. I watched to Leslie, and I would personally give her my vote for the Oscar.
I had no dog in that hunt before Sunday night after Last of Us Episode 3. I decided to watch to Leslie, had to get it on Amazon, had to buy it. But I walked away from it because I went into watching saying, okay, let's see if there's an argument that she should get a nomination. I came out of it with, there's an argument she should win the damn award.
Yeah.
And to me, at the end of the day, that's all that should matter. So to me, it takes that argument about, well, she bumped out Viola and Danielle. No, she didn't. Because she didn't take the fifth spot. She's should be in slot one or two. So the person who bumped out Viola and Danielle is either Michelle Williams or Ana de Armas or Michelle Yeoh. It was one of them that bumped them out. It wasn't Andrea Riseborough, because she 1,000% deserves that nomination. Listen, yeah. I thought Viola Davis was brilliant in Woman King. I absolutely do. And if I was the Oscar voter and putting together my ballot, Viola Davis would be on the nomination list, even ahead of Danielle. But Andrea would have ranked higher than her on my list. That's not taking anything away from Viola's brilliant performance. And quite frankly, Michelle Williams shouldn't even be on the list, because her performance is really more of a supporting actress performance. She shouldn't even be there. But she is. I still think Viola should be placed above her, but Andrea Riseborough deserves the number one or the number two slot, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
All right, what's next?
Richard22Z says, was paying for two screens on Netflix so my parents could watch at their house and I could watch at mine, but it doesn't seem possible without paying more, so I downgraded to two for now. See if I get rid of it.
Yeah, I don't understand the mentality. I mean, if, like, there's so many things we have that we can only use once and in our home. And if Netflix does the same thing, I'm not quite sure the idea. I don't know why some people get outraged over the fact that Netflix is setting it up so that we have to use it the way it was always intended to be used. That if you pay for a subscription, you get to use it. If somebody else wants to use the service, they need to pay for their own subscription. And honestly, I think, and you know me, I'm not the world's biggest Netflix fan.
Right.
But the very fact that Netflix has met everybody halfway by saying, I'll tell you what, we'll put in a middle step where you can pay like $3 extra a month or whatever it is, and an additional person can be added to your account. That is more than most services do. So I don't know. We'll see how it kind of shakes out. All right, what's next?
Chuck the Mystery says, with regard to DC movies being rated R, my biggest question remains, if Authority is R, but Superman is PG-13, and they cross over, how do you balance it?
Well, Rob, I thought you made some really good points, because I brought up that question myself earlier today, right? That's definitely going to be a challenge. But you can have characters say and do and act in a certain way in one thing, and then slightly modify it in a second one, because you're right. It's a challenge. Like, we've been talking about this since Deadpool, since Fox got acquired by Disney, right? It's like, how are you going to have Deadpool in his own movie ripping off the R words every 5 seconds and then suddenly bring him into a Thor movie or a Spider-Man movie where he can't do that stuff? You can do it. It might feel a little odd at first, but there's ways to make them come across a certain
way. I agree. I think so, too. It just depends. Because here's the thing. No one's going to think about the rating if the movie's good. Mm-hmm. If the Authority's fighting Superman, you don't have to have F-bombs and all whatever. If the movie's compelling and well-written, no one cares.
Yep, I agree. All right, what's next?
Harv's K says, was watching the heavy spoilers take on Tar. And did you know there are ghosts in the movie? You can't unsee them once you know they're there.
Really? I've watched that channel a couple of times during Andor. They had some neat videos on Andor. I have never heard this about Tar.
I need to watch that.
Is this like the Ghost Boy and Three Men and a Baby?
Oh my God, remember that? I'll have to check that out. Thanks for putting that on my radar.
I'll watch it again.
All right, what's next?
Michael Kurtz says, hey John, have you heard of the game Wizard 101? I love the game and story and think a live-action version would be awesome. Also, what's your excitement level for Hunger Games 5?
Zero excitement level for Hunger Games 5. Not saying it's not going to be good. It might be great. But I'm not going to lie to you. I have no anticipation for it. It's Hunger Games is not my bag. That's fine. Although, I did really like one or two of the Hunger Games movies.
Yeah.
It didn't end well. The final movie was not all that good. But there was a couple chapters quite good. But I'd be lying to you if I said I was excited about it, but it might end up being great. We'll see. As far as Wizard 101, I'll be honest with you, I've never heard of it. Never even heard of it. So I can't give any commentary on that, unfortunately. Any of you guys played it or know the game?
Nope.
No, I've never heard of it.
I was looking it up. I don't know.
All right, what's next?
Allison Hoffman says, T'Challa's son, I just saw Black Panther 2.
Yeah, I have no plans to ever watch it again. I watched it a second time and I liked it less the second time. I still think it's a good movie. And what Ryan Coogler, the director of the film, what he was able to do, given the circumstances that he was under, it's an impossible feat. Making that movie was an impossible feat. And he did as good or better than anybody else could have possibly done with it. I still didn't love the film nearly as much as I did the first. And they made some decisions, including I thought the sun thing was not a great choice, to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie. I don't think that was a great choice. But, it is what it is. But you know what is a good choice? Choosing to check out the sponsors of today's episode of Open Mic. We got two sponsors here for you that are sponsoring our show today. Our great friends over at Masterclass and, of course, my mobile service provider, Ryan Reynolds' own Mint Mobile.
We want to thank a sponsor of this video, Masterclass. Masterclass offers classes on a wide variety of topics, all taught by world-class instructors at the very top of their fields. Each class is broken out into individual video lessons, usually around 10 minutes long. And Masterclass is completely accessible on your phone, the web, smart TV, and available via audio mode to listen to classes on the go. They have over 2,500 video lessons from over 180 of today's most brilliant minds. They're all available anytime, anywhere on iOS, Android, desktop, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, and Roku. Now, obviously, around here on the John Campia Show, we love our movies. So why not learn filmmaking from Jodie Foster, or maybe directing from Ron Howard himself, or the great Neil Gaiman doing his masterclass on the art of storytelling? And you guys have heard me talk about my favorite masterclass, Business Strategy and Leadership by Big Papa Iger himself, Bob Iger, the new and returning CEO of Disney. So guys, I
highly recommend that you check it out. Get unlimited access to every class. And as a John Campia Show listener, you get 15% off an annual membership. Just go to masterclass.com/Campia now. That's masterclass.com/Campia for 15% off Masterclass. Guys, we want to thank a sponsor of this video, Mint Mobile. If saving more and spending less is one of your top goals for 2023, why are you still paying insane amounts of money every month for your phone bill? Switching to Mint Mobile is the easiest way to save money this year. As the first company to sell premium wireless service online only, Mint Mobile lets you order from home and save a ton, with phone plans starting at just $15 a month. Guys, I have told you before that when I was on one of the major phone carriers, I was spending literally three times as much every month. And switching to Mint Mobile couldn't have been easier. So for people just looking to save some extra money this year, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and switch easily in just minutes with eSIM. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/Campia. That's mintmobile.com/Campia. Cut your wireless bill to just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Campia. And thank you to our friends at Masterclass and, of course, Mint Mobile for sponsoring this episode of the John Campia Show. Remember, guys, when you try and support our sponsors, go down to the description of this video. You'll find links and promo codes to both of them. You're actually supporting us here on the channel. So thank you again to Masterclass and Mint Mobile. All right. Let's keep on going with your questions here, guys. What do we got next?
Next comes from Red. Hey, crew, you guys recall any notable Oscar upsets? Mine will always be Shakespeare in Love winning Best Picture over Saving Private Ryan in 1999. I still don't understand it to this day.
I'm one of the few people that does. I think Shakespeare in Love. Listen, not taking anything away from my all-time favorite director, Steven Spielberg's Saving Private Ryan. Steven Spielberg is my all-time favorite filmmaker. Shakespeare in Love, I find today is as a, and it sounds weird to say it about a Best Picture winner, that is a tragically underrated film. I think that movie is fantastic.
I love it.
Oh, I thought you were about to tell me that you hated the film.
Dude, I love that movie. As a matter of fact, it was available when I first was starting to buy Blu-rays. It was available only in the UK first. So I bought a import discs. I love that movie, and I don't understand. Joseph Fiennes is great.
Ralph Fiennes' brothers,
great in it. And yep. I mean, Ben Affleck
is great.
When he shows, it's just everything about that movie. It's a mystery.
The one to me that has always stood out to me. Every category. It's you could have somebody. Oh, I thought this person should have won instead of that, but it's never so stark. The one for me that really stands out. And I will die on this hill. You know I am not a fan of the Star Wars prequels. But that doesn't mean I don't recognize brilliant things in it.
Sure.
It is a joke that Matrix, which is the better movie, no argument, but Matrix winning Best Visual Effects over Star Wars The Phantom Menace is an absolute joke. It is 100% absolute joke. I understand. John, they innovated bullet time. Great. That's fantastic. No movie in cinematic history has ever represented a bigger leap forward from where the status quo was at its time than Star Wars The Force Awakens did.
Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace. And Star Wars The Phantom Menace did.
I agree.
When you take into consideration where the status of visual effects is always moving forward. And every once in a while, a movie comes out that represents kind of a jump forward. No jump has ever been bigger than when The Phantom Menace came out. That moved visual effects so far forward, it's insane. And again, a lot of people always confuse, John, Matrix is the better movie. It's not about which movie was better.
Right.
It's not. It's about which had the better visual effects. And I'm sorry, but The Phantom Menace runs laps around. The effects in Matrix were great. They were fantastic. Phantom Menace ran laps around it. And it's ridiculous that even though I didn't like the movie, that movie did not win. Do you have any, like, one particular category or year that there was one that really stood out to you?
It's funny. I'd have to really think about it, but not off the top of my head. you know, other than Jaws. That's like when I was a kid. But I think it was it One Flew the Cuckoo's Nest beat Jaws?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
And I understand. As I got, at the time, I didn't. Annie Hall beating Star Wars. I'm like, what?
See, but
when I was a kid.
I want to point this out, too. Somebody in the live chat, one of our viewers, a Star Trek, and said, Avatar did more for motion capture, I think. I mean, here's the thing. Avatar was one of those films that, to me, was a jump forward. But it was taking a lot of things that we already had.
Yeah.
And really taking them a bit farther. You got to understand, the Phantom Menace did things never before even conceived of. And you don't really appreciate until you sit down and watch like the bonus feature stuff that were on the Phantom Menace DVDs, which was incredible bonus feature stuff.
Well, I mean, just the Gungans, you know, fully realized CG characters. Now we just take it for granted that we're interacting with human beings. Yeah. I mean, Jar Jar Binks, laugh all you want, but that was a revolutionary.
That character was represented such a fundamental shift. And everything else that came after it built on what they did in that movie.
Yeah.
But again, the jump from what we had to what the new norm was once The Phantom Menace came out was like crazy. All right, what's next?
Big Mouth Stan says, who's your favorite comedian turned actor? There's a lot to choose from. My top two are Eddie Murphy and Steve Martin.
Those are two fantastic ones. Jim Carrey has got to be up there too.
Robin Williams.
I mean, that's where I was going. It ends with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, Academy Award winner, multi-time nominee, just a guy who ended up being a brilliant actor. So I got to say Robin Williams. Clearly,
I think Robin Williams is the best. I mean, look, he was able to do dramatic roles. I mean, Jim Carrey's done some really great dramatic roles too. But Robin Williams, I mean, Good Will Hunting, Dead Poets Society, I Love World According to Garp. I mean, he's terrific.
Well, that's why I keep saying Adam Sandler needs to do another Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
I mean, Sandler has so much potential. So much potential to be that guy. Now, I see a bunch of names being thrown out in the latch. Names like Steve Carell. But the thing about Steve Carell is, like, when I hear about stand-up comedians turn that, look, a lot of actors today have done stand-up. But I mean, Steve Carell was not a world-famous stand-up comedian.
Right.
Like a Robin Williams was. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a number of these other names that were out there. But yeah, I agree with you, Robin Williams. All right, what's next?
Tim Platt says, so between work and prepping for my Network Plus certification, I find myself on my computer for 12 to 14 hours almost every day now. What are the glasses? Ooh, this is a good question. What are the glasses you use to reduce eye strain?
Somebody sent me you got to understand, I spend most of my day in front of not just a monitor, like giant monitors. Like at home, I have two 32-inch monitors and a 16-inch laptop monitor. In my office over here, I have two 42-inch monitors. That I have. That is a lot. And even now I'm sitting, I got two monitors in front of me. So a number of years ago, I started realizing after every episode of Movie Talk that I would do or whatever, like I just would have like a little bit of a headache. My eyes would be super, super tired. Somebody recommended a brand to me called Gunnar. I believe it's spelled G-U-N-N-A-R, Gunnar glasses. And the first pair I had for a long time looked a little silly. It looked like I was trying to be Bono because they had the yellow tint. Then they came out with clear tint ones. And I have found that I don't use them every day, but I find that when I use them, I just feel better after the show than I would normally. So yeah, that's a good example. And that's the original kind of design for the Gunners. But look them up, Gunner. And I'm not gonna tell you what they do or don't do. I'm just gonna tell you my own personal experience. They have helped me. They've helped me a lot. So maybe they'll help you too.
There you go.
What's next?
Avery 1257 sends in a super chat. Well, thank you, Avery. Wicked Man says, have you ever seen Inside Llewyn Davis?
Oh, that movie's
incredible. Personally, Moon in my Knight. Top 10.
Moon Knight as Oscar Isaac in that one. Well, that's what really put him on the map for a lot of people. That movie.
Kyle, and I love that song when
Homebase.
Oh, yeah. Please, Mr. Kennedy.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's a really good movie.
That's a really good movie.
And again, it's the one that put Isaac on, I think, on the map.
That and A Most Violent Year came out kind of around the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
And both of those movies are so good. He was in that with Jessica Chastain. I love that film. Both of those. I love them both.
All right, what's next?
Just ending with King Tanic.
King Tanic, by the way, is who started. He's the guy that did the new show. The
anime show in your
King Tanic. Yeah, the anime show, the Otaku Experience. So thank you for that, King Tanic.
And is that it?
That's it.
All right, guys. Well, in that case, that'll do it for today's installment of Open Mic. Thank you so much for being here, guys, and making this show part of your day. Hey, big special thank you to all you guys who sent in those super chats. Number one, because you gave us great fun things to talk about. But number two, you supported our channel as you did it. And all of us involved here in the room, thank you guys so very much for your support. Guys, don't forget to come on back and join us tomorrow for the next installment of the John Campia Show. And I don't know if you got the link there, Taylor, but I want to let you guys know you did have the link there ready. On Sunday, February the 19th, myself, my buddies Greg Alba and Christian Harloff, we are doing an evening with Campia, Harloff, and Alba in Burbank, California. You want to come on down? We're going to talk about the online movie space. We're going to talk about the new Ant-Man movie, Quantumania, that'll be opening up just a couple of days before it. It's going to be great. We're holding it at the Burbank's Flappers Comedy Club. It's going to be a good time. The ticket link will be down in the description below. I've also got a link to it in the community tab and on my Twitter. So go and check those out there. And we hope that you guys will come and join us. So for everybody in the room, Robert Meyer Burnett over here, Jonathan Voico has been joining us. Taylor Gonzalez has been back there. My name is John Campia. And until next time, my friends, bye-bye.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.